Good morning. Welcome to this worship service of the First Baptist Church of Ann Arbor, Michigan, on a chilly October morning when there are runners all over town, and figuring out how to get here from there is a bit of a challenge. So I've been here long enough, I actually found my way, so that was good. Delighted to have you with us this morning. I'm Rick Mixon, the transitional pastor here at First Baptist. God, for those folks in the sanctuary, as well as those who are joining us online in this hybrid community. The Morgan family went off to Southern California, but their presence didn't help Michigan yesterday, unfortunately. But they're in San Diego, I think, and looking forward to some surfing and some play in Southern California. I'll be back next week. A couple of announcements. The men's book group will meet tomorrow night at Tim Decker's house. We're reading a Wendell Berry book, if you can, I think that's in your order of worship. The gathering will not meet this week because of Michigan spring break, so we'll take a week off. We're still looking for people to provide meals on Wednesday nights for our gathering group, so if you could sign up for that, I get to eat too, would very much appreciate it. And I think that's maybe all of the major announcements this morning. So I'll invite Jamie to come and lead us in our call to worship.
Please join me in our call to worship. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of God's name. Give to the Holy One glorious praise.
Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your great power, your enemies cringe before you.
All the earth worships you. They sing praises to you, sing praises to your name.
Come and see what God has done. God's deeds on our behalf are wondrous.
The Holy One turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There we rejoiced in God, who rules by might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let the rebellious not exalt themselves.
Let us call upon the peoples. Let the Son of God's praise be heard, who has kept us on believing and has not let our feet slip.
For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried.
Thank you.
Please join me in prayer. Awesome Creator, you bring us together in this sanctuary, calling us from all those places where we live and work and play, so we can recognize you in faces lined with wisdom, so we can hear you in the questions of the smallest child, so we can sit up and notice all that you do in our midst. Amen.
Hear these words from the prophet Jeremiah. Hear these words from the prophet Jeremiah. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles, and to the priests and the prophets and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Holy One of Hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and raise children. Find spouses for your children that they may bear children. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Holy One on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Story from Luke's Gospel. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, "Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you whole." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Good morning. How are you all this morning? Sleepy? All right. Well, I'm glad you're here. Ms. Zan is off in Southern California. She said she was going surfing. So we've been talking about home and places and time. And I was wondering today if you have a favorite place. Do you have a favorite place that you like to be or you like to go? Can you think of one? Right. The pool. You're a swimmer. All right. My older sister's bedroom, even though she doesn't like me in there. Well, okay. Yeah. You like to go camping. And is there a special place you like to go? Where? Walden Woods. Do you like to camp in the woods? I like the woods, too. Big spiders. You like spiders? I bet there's some people out there who don't agree with you. Where do you like to go? Your new school. All right, you like to go to school. Where do you like to go?
Hollywood Forest.
Hollywood Forest. Is that close by or is that far? Oh, it's the forest by Abbott Elementary School. Oh, cool. Anybody else have a place you like to go, a favorite place? Oh, yeah. Your bed. Well, I might agree with you. At least there are certainly times when my bed is, especially on a cold morning when it's warm. Yeah, when it's warm, when it's cold outside and you just snuggle down under the covers. So today we're talking about special places. I'm calling them spacious places. Places where we feel at home, where we feel good, where we feel comfortable, where we feel like it's good to be me. It's good to be, right? You ever feel like it's good to be you? Huh? I think it's good to be you. At school, you feel like it's good to be you? Yeah. So these are special places that we go where we feel at home, or we feel comfortable, or we feel at ease, or we feel like we're safe and secure and loved and cared for, right? And sometimes it's out in the woods, and sometimes it's right at home. It's different places. Well, and sometimes that's a little more problematic, places where you're not supposed to be. Huh? Well, in the ocean. Some people like being in the ocean. Well, in the middle of the ocean, as long as you're in a safe ship, I suppose. Anyway, there are places that are safe and warm and good to be, where we feel comfortable and at home. If you're in the ocean, you should be on a ship. Yeah, cruise ship. I agree. Anyway, so let's thank God for the special places in our lives, right? Where we feel at home and comfortable and loved and warm. God, we thank you for those places that make us feel especially like we are your children, like you're taking care of us, where we feel warm and comfortable and at home. And we thank you that maybe even here in this place, in this church, in this community, we find home and warmth and comfort and your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. A little preface to the prayer this morning. We a lot of our names that we lift up in the prayer time are people for whom we have concern, who are dealing with health issues and difficulties. So I thought I'd just lift up a couple of joys today that I'm aware of. I'm not going to get this quite right, but I've seen these things on Facebook. So I want to celebrate with joy that Jamie got tenure, is that correct? Or you're on tenure track at the hospital. So it's a step up, right? So we celebrate with Jamie. And I know Drew Mass got a recognition as an attorney. I don't know exactly what the word is, but congratulations to Drew for being recognized. And some of us were at the ABC, American Baptist Churches in Michigan annual meeting this weekend. And on Friday night, Bill Foster got recognized for 40 years of ordination, 40 years since his ordination. So congratulations to Bill, who got recognized and got a certificate. So joys and concerns, pray with me. God, we are grateful for the many gifts and blessings with which you shower us. Sometimes in our hurry to get somewhere, to do the next thing, to mark the next thing off our to-do list, we lose sight of the beauty and the wonder of life all around us. We're thankful for our children and for their sharing with us those places where they feel welcome and special and safe and whole. Help us to remember what those places are for each of us and to celebrate them and to revel in them and to give them their due. God, we know that we live in troubled times and difficult situations. And we pray that you would move powerfully among us as a people, as a community, as individuals to bear witness to your truth and to your good news, even in times when we're plagued by hatred and vengeance, nasty speech and unkind behavior. We're grateful that there seems to be some kind of breakthrough coming in the war in the Middle East, some hope for the people of Gaza and Israel. We pray for the people of Ukraine and Sudan, the ongoing conflicts there, Yemen, Haiti, Myanmar. God, you've gifted us with this incredible creation and you've asked us to help you take care of it. Forgive us for the times in which we've failed and give us wisdom and insight and strength to be healers of the planet. We pray for refugees and immigrants, those people looking for a place, for their spacious place where they can call home and feel safe. We pray you would forgive us for our inhospitality to our siblings as they come looking for our help. We pray for the plight of LGBT people, especially for trans people in this time where they are so under threat. We lift also the family and friends of Jason Beckman. We pray for Bob Kidd, for Bob Reynolds, for John Vandervliet and Becky Lepley, for Rick Zimmerman, for Adrian Moulton Headley, for Erica Deals, for Kim Williamson, Marlene Francis, Roberta Hawes, Betty Doman, Mervyn Eucharts, Esther Floyd, Linda Berg, Marilyn Marsh, Dakota Lawson, Helga Mortensen, Greg Dubois, Cindy Okarski, Keith Maurer, Beth Granberry, Faye Key, for Claire, for Keith and Christy, and for the Pastoral Search Committee. Giver of every good gift, we come with gratitude and hope, with wonder and a desire to know you more deeply and to live more fully into your beloved community. And now we pray together that prayer that Jesus taught his first disciples, saying, Our Father, Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Come and taste, come along with me.
Join me in this prayer of reflection from Down Under from Bruce Brewer, Australian preacher, poet. Gratitude is a healthy reaction to grace, he says. So let us pray. Holy friend, words about you are no substitute for the real thing. We thank you for the special times of the Spirit, for those brief moments of divine light when nothing separates us from you, and we can experience a fragment of pure wonder and love. We thank you for the simple triggers you choose for these moments of light. A piece of music, a walk by the sea, a phrase in a prayer, the song of a thrush, the eyes of a friend, a line in a hymn, a ripple on still waters, a word of scripture, the soft cheek of a baby, a tiny bush orchid, a loved one's hug, a parable from Jesus, the midnight stars, an awakened memory, the sharing of bread and wine, recovering from an illness, a thought in a sermon, the scent of a flower, a child's wonderful discovery, the striking of a clock, a glimpse of a mountain peak. We thank you that we cannot manufacture these times of awe or predict them, that they are your serendipity gifts, free as grace, more precious than gold. Help us to treasure them, to measure them by what Christ taught us, and to use them as inspiration for the common love and service of ordinary days. To your endless praise and glory. Amen. A moment of silence to meditate, reflect, be still, drawing closer to the holy, lifting your own prayers of desire and recognition. God challenges us. God encourages us. God confronts us and God accepts us. God works wonders in our midst and gives us the eyes, the hearts, the souls to see miracles. God forgives us. God guides us through the wilderness of the world. God blesses us and leads us home. Thanks be to God. Amen. seated. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock, our Redeemer. Amen. Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze and listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in. Now, there's a song about spacious places. There's a certain lure to it that promises fulfillment for those who long for that kind of life, who love and long for wide open spaces. However, written in 1934 by Cole Porter and made popular by Bing Crosby, both of whom I imagine were likely performing against type, it strikes me as an anthem for the prototypical individual cowboy, the Marlboro man, the one who became immediately recognizable as the symbol of Reagan-era rugged individualism with its promulgation of trickle-down economics and pull-yourself-up-by-your-own-bootstraps approach to life's difficulties. Rugged individualism has its appeal, I suppose. But I'm not sure this is what the psalmist had in mind when this hymn was written. Spacious places. What are they for you and me, and why might they be important? The psalmist sings praise to God for all the wonders of creation, celebrating in sacred memory the miracles of the Exodus. After a narrow escape from bondage in Egypt, crossing the Red Sea on dry land, and 40 years of wandering in the Sinai desert, Joshua leads the children of Israel across the rolled back Jordan River into the Promised Land, a spacious place for a people who had spent a long time looking and longing for a place to settle and be at home. In spite of Palestine's semi-arid state, it was for the Hebrew people of that age a land flowing with milk and honey. There is life to be celebrated in liberation and finding home. There is deep memory of the joy and gratitude for finding the land of promise, this spacious place. When we read this text in Bible study, I was especially taken with this phrase, "You have brought us out to a spacious place." It's such a lovely word of hope and possibility. Other versions sing of a place of ease, a place of abundance, a wealthy place, a well-watered place. Seems important in a desert land. Lots of latitude in translating the Hebrew, but spacious place for me is intriguing. One image that sprang to mind, aside from the wide open expanse of the rough and tumble West, as penned by Cole Porter, is hiking in mountains and woods. I'm glad Robbie and Bill are here this morning, and this may speak to you. I'm not an inveterate trekker, but I know you are, and I know others in the church are. But I have vivid pictures of hiking through a dense, dark forest, and at the end of the trail, coming through an opening in the trees to a glorious meadow or a shimmering lake, bringing us out into a spacious place, a place of beauty and wonder. I think this is the kind of place God intended for us from the beginning and longs for us to find. Eden? Paradise, perhaps? I think it's meant to be if we turn our attention in that direction. Now, it's not always clear why the lectionary committee connects the texts that they do. But in exploring the other lectionary texts for today, I wondered if I could make connections to spacious places in considering them. I didn't get all four in, but three out of four. The most challenging was the lovely but difficult text from Jeremiah. Can we make a case that being in exile in Babylon, or anywhere for that matter, can be considered a spacious place? Unlike the situation with the psalmist, where the painful, difficult times of slavery and wilderness wandering are in the past, Jeremiah's people are suffering right now in their exile. From the psalmist's perspective, there have been post-Exodus trials and tribulations, challenges and difficulties, tests and burdens, but God has kept the people among the living and has not let their feet slip. God has brought them out to a spacious place. But for Jeremiah's people, terrible times and turmoil are just beginning. There's little hope on the horizon as the city of Jerusalem with its glorious temple has been destroyed. The king and the court, the high priest, the artists and craftspeople, the higher classes have all been dragged off to Babylon. The lower classes and the outsiders have been left to endure in the rubble as best they can. Their lives are totally disrupted and chaotic. And here comes Jeremiah, the outlier prophet from the sticks, who has excoriated the people for their bad behavior and failure to keep the covenant, with another word of challenge, but also a word of hope. The hard word is that the exiles are going to be gone for a long time. The hope is that life goes on even in Babylon. Classic bad news, good news. Thus says the Holy One of Hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and raise children. Find spouses for your children that they may bear children. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Holy One on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. In its welfare, you will find your welfare. In spite of the prediction of other well-connected court prophets to the contrary, Jeremiah insists that they will be in Babylon for quite a while. There were other prophets that said, oh, you'll be back in 2 years, right? It was a great debate between Jeremiah and Hananiah. Jeremiah insists they will be in Babylon for quite a while, so they should adjust. Learn to live with their new neighbors. Can we make a case that Jeremiah is encouraging the exiles to create something spacious for themselves in a strange place? By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and there we wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows, there we hung up our harps. For there our captors asked of us songs, and our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But how could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. Friends, for people who sang such a lament, how would they adjust to their captivity? How would they learn to live with their exile? How would they make peace with their captors? Is it Jeremiah's prophetic word of possibility and hope absurd? Somehow in Jeremiah's view, God's goodness and grace were not limited to the promised land, to the chosen people, to any one time and place. This God that Jeremiah served was God anywhere and everywhere. If this was news to the exiles, could it also be good news? God was bigger, more gracious, more loving than they had ever imagined. Living long in Babylonian exile might not be ideal, but God, through Jeremiah, tells the people that God will be with them wherever they are, in whatever circumstances. Can we claim this same truth for ourselves today? That God will be with us wherever we are, in whatever circumstances, even in the toughest of times. Dan Clendenin writes, "There are periods of darkness and gloom when we feel far from home, and it's natural to pray for exodus deliverance." Christian maturity, he writes, means putting one foot in front of another and remembering that Yahweh is no less present in exilic darkness than in exodus deliverance. The Holy One turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There we rejoiced in God who rules by might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let the rebellious not exalt themselves. Bless God, all you peoples. Let the sound of God's praise be heard, who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You've tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net, and you laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet you have brought us out to a spacious place. Alan Bream writes of Jeremiah's letter, "He has also pointed them to the hope that in the midst of mundane routines of life in foreign exile, they could find God's peace. Despite all their disappointed hopes and dreams, they might just find themselves having the experience recounted by the psalmist. After going through fire and water," he writes, "just when they may have thought their life was over, God has brought them to a spacious place. A place where, much to their own surprise and contrary to their expectations, they could find peace. It wasn't where they thought they would live out their lives, but it was a place where they could thrive." Yes, even life in Babylon can be a spacious place if you seek the welfare of the city where God has sent us into exile, into trouble, and pray for the Holy One on its behalf. For in its welfare you will find your welfare. For in its spaciousness you will find spaciousness for yourselves. Well, finally, let's look at this beloved tale of Jesus and the 10 lepers, all of whom came to him pleading for healing. "Have mercy on us." You probably heard the plight in those days of people who suffered from a variety of skin diseases labeled as leprosy. Those people were labeled impure, and they were totally cast out from a purity culture. As they moved in and around their villages, they were required to announce themselves by shouting, "Unclean!" to warn the people to avoid their approach. Of course, Jesus was having none of this and willingly added lepers to the outcasts for whom he cared, to whom he ministered. As these 10 children of God approached him with their plea for mercy, he responded by telling them to go and show themselves to the priest. It may seem curious to us, but it would have been standard practice for them, for those healed, to have the priests verify, to certify their healing, which would allow them to be welcomed back into the community. This healing was more than cure. It was a transformation of their lives, a welcome home for them. So I don't think it's particularly surprising that they all hurry on their way rejoicing. I can imagine they were ecstatic to find the disease peeling from their skin, so excited they could think of nothing else but following Jesus' instruction to do what they needed to secure their inclusion again, to get home as fast as they could. The lack of a thank you was maybe more of an oversight than a deliberate snub. Jesus had surely offered them new life, and I doubt Jesus needed a thank you to confirm the good things that he'd done. It isn't hard to see that Jesus has brought all 10 to spacious places, both in the healing of their bodies and in their restitution to the community. But what of this one who returned? The Samaritan, the double outcast, if you will. It had been tolerable for him to hang out with the others when they were all experiencing the same debilitating disease, a company of outliers just struggling to survive. But as a Samaritan, I wonder if the priest would have been so willing to certify his healing. And would his fellow travelers have included him now that their common bond of disease had been broken? Speculation, sure. But I think it goes to why he recognized how important it was for him to turn back and thank Jesus. Something more had unfolded in his life. Gratitude had taken hold and made his place a little more spacious than the others. Doesn't that sound right? When we recognize how God has taken care of us, when we see how we have been made whole, when are not our lives then enriched by gratitude? The healed Samaritan discovered something more, something larger, grace and gratitude, healing and wholeness are incredibly spacious places. Alan Bream again writes, "Faith entrusts oneself to God's loving care because of a conviction that God is trustworthy. Even when we find ourselves in a place we didn't want to be, if we can let go of our expectations and accept the grace to thrive in surprising places, we may discover that we can count on God never to forsake us, to see us through whatever comes our way, to bring us to the spacious place where we can thrive." Bless God, all you peoples. Let the sound of God's praise be heard, who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, yet you have brought us into a spacious place. Thanks be to God. Amen. In that spirit of gratitude, that I invite our ushers to come now and receive our morning offerings. In gratitude, we give to support the wonderful life of this community and all its many ministries. this pilgrim way. We pray that you would bless these gifts that we have offered this day to the ministries of this church and to the upholding, the upbuilding of this community more fully into your beloved community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now I invite you to greet one another with the peace of this day. May the peace of Christ be with you and also with you. As you go on your way, may you have the wisdom and will to help others and the humility to allow others to help you. Take courage to forgive and be forgiven, to heal and be healed, to serve and be served. With you always, there will be the grace of Christ, the love of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.